Following in Henry Kissinger's Footsteps, Writing His Own History, is the title of this article by Video Age staff from the December issue of Video Age magazine. Video Age has been late in reviewing Peter Barth's ninth book, Infamous Players, A Tale of Movies, the Mob, and Sex. His third, published by Weinstein Books and sold in the U.S. for $15. Weinstein Books is part of the Weinstein Film Company, founded by Bob and Harvey Weinstein. Barth called the latter a maverick when he was editor-in-chief at Variety. Indeed, the first ecstatic review of the 274-page book came out in the New York Times and was penned by Janet Maslin on May 11, 2011, followed by another a month later by Karen James in the highly sought-after New York Times Book Review. Since Barth reported for 4 years at the New York Times, starting in 1963, the least one can expect is a glowing review by the newspaper, regardless of the book's content, accuracy, and relevance. However, accuracy is not something that we'll dwell on here, except to point out that some critics challenged Barth with film release dates, and Donald Sutherland denied that when at Paramount, Barth was on the set during a supposedly real sex scene between the actor and Julie Christie. Barth published the book in 2011 at age 79. Therefore, it is understandable that some facts were lost in the database. Relevance, on the other hand, is important to us, so we called upon other executives at Paramount to check whether, for example, Barth's depiction of Charles Bluedorn, the chairman of Gulf and Western, which controlled Paramount Studios, was accurate. The response was that even though Bluedorn wasn't a nice person, Barth's descriptions of him were at times creative. Nevertheless, the narrative of Infamous Players is somewhat interesting, if less relevant, since, according to critics, most of its material comes from the 1994 book The Kid Stays in the Picture, an autobiography by Robert Evans, and Barth's 2002 book Shootout, Infamous Players, also slows down to near boredom when, about three-quarters into the book, it becomes a version of the Internet Movie Database's IMDb credit listings. The story begins when Barth was asked to move from the New York Times to Paramount Pictures in 1967 by Robert Evans, then president of production at the studio. In his 8 years at Paramount, Barth rose to VP in charge of production. According to Barth, Evans noticed him when, on August 7, 1966, he wrote in the New York Times, "I like it. I want it. Let's sew it up." A glowing feature story about Evans. An article that, in turn, was noticed by Bluedorn, who offered Evans the production job. Others, however, recall that Greg Boutzer, a Hollywood agent, and Sidney Korshak, a labor lawyer, introduced Evans to Bluedorn. Five main points in the book struck these reviewers oddly. The overemphasis that Barth puts on remaining faithful to his wife, despite open offers by beautiful women. The large number of movie actors that he helped become stars. The numerous film projects that he saved from doom or development hell, the good relationships with the 280 top-level movie executives and stars mentioned in his book, and the brief overview of his time at Variety. Only 27 lines of Barth's book are devoted to his former position at Variety, which began in 1989 and ended in 2009. His job started when Variety was called the Bible of the entertainment business, and it ended with the virtual demise of the trade paper, which ultimately closed its daily edition and turned its weekly into a glossy consumer gossip publication. To compensate for this shortcoming and to get some insight into Barth's reign at Variety, we consulted Peter Bessa's book Inside Variety, published in 2000. Bessa, who worked at Variety for 30 years, left the publication in 1999. Bessa's devoted only 12 of the book's total 563 pages to Barth, and they are not full of praise. Barth started to flex his journalistic muscles at Variety just enough to draw controversy and attention to himself, a calculated attack that succeeded in raising just enough dust to keep Barth in the limelight and assure his place as a subject of conversation in Beverly Hills cocktail parties. Bessis also wrote, Bart was meticulously tinkering with the paper. Like a military strategist, each carefully planned move was designed to bring him a little closer to his ultimate objective, a triumphant return to the corridors of filmic power in Hollywood. And about the beginning of the end of the venerable trade paper, Bessis wrote, the much-ballyhooed New Variety was officially presented at the Regency Hotel on Park Avenue by Peter Bart and publisher Jerry Byrne at a breakfast celebration of change. It was a tame affair. About 25 or 30 guests appeared, only one network executive, and virtually no film or legit people. In conclusion, with this latest book, Bart did not succeed in ensuring his legacy, the same way Henry Kissinger wasn't able to ensure his, despite his many revisionist books, and indeed he's still considered a war criminal by critics. It is sad that, at times, one has to die while living in order to live after dying. It is doubtful that Bart would go to that extreme. As for Kissinger, the former Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon, who's mentioned in this review's headline and described by Bart as Robert Evans' friend, occupies 6 pages of Bart's book, despite their brief encounters. Yet that's still 5.5 more pages than he reserved for Variety, where he worked for 20 years. Following in Henry Kissinger's Footsteps, Writing His Own History, was the title of that article by Video Age staff from the December issue of Video Age magazine.